In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You've seen it on billboards, commercials, tattoos, pretty much everywhere. It seems to be the church's go-to marketing campaign, but it's also a profoundly simple message for those who are really discovering faith. Welcome to day 3 of the Journey Through John podcast. Welcome to the Journey Through John podcast from Willow Creek Community Church, where every day we set aside space in our lives to experience God's Word. Together, we'll discuss the context and meaning of each passage and how the book of John can help us understand more about who God is and the story he's writing for each of us every day. Welcome back to the Journey Through John podcast. This is day 3. We're 3 days in. How's it going for you all?
It's great.
Awesome.
Loving it.
Great. Well, I should take time now to introduce who's here. This is Brendan Lang, who wrote the commentary for the Journey Through John. Amber Patton is our adult ministries pastor here at the North Shore.
Hey, guys.
And we're blessed with Gina Cherian, who is the lead pastor for the Willow Southlake campus. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
John 3:16, maybe the most heard and used verse. I'm just curious, where have you guys seen this out in public in the world? What's the craziest place that you've seen it? Because I've seen it all over billboards, especially in the South. Like if they shout it loud enough at you, you'll believe it and you'll become a Christian.
Yeah. This isn't actually John 3:16, but I remember like pro wrestling. I remember you seeing like the signs that would say Austin 3:16. Do you remember those?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know what he was actually trying, what people were trying to say there, but.
I remember back in like fifth grade, people would like have shirts with it. And I'm like, do you know what that, never mind. It's not important. It's fine.
Did you want to teach them from your Awana days?
Yeah, I wanted to lay down the law. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Awana is that, that's some serious history back there.
That's where you learned it?
Yeah. Awana was, you open up those cubby books, got my vest on.
First verse?
I'll post a picture of that.
Somebody has to have a picture of you.
The cubby vest.
No. We didn't have Awana. I wasn't privileged in Central. Small town Iowa.
Just had your Bible, huh?
We just had our Bible.
You just rode to weddings on a tractor.
That's right.
That's all you did. Fair enough.
You have cubby vests. That's interesting.
On Forever 21 bags. Yes. Ladies, you know what Forever 21 is.
And go to the mall?
It's very unsuspecting that it'd be like on the bottom of their bags.
It was shocking the first time I saw it. And I was like, what secrets are they hiding here?
I wondered too. Pretty cool though.
Also, any like food outlet that's Christian based, Chick-fil-A probably has it hidden somewhere. Mm-hmm. I know In-N-Out has John 3:16 and other verses just hidden throughout their cups and
Do
stuff.
Do you have to like look and find it, or is it?
It's pretty odd. Like on, if you like take a cup, it's on like the inside of this little lip.
So you do have to go look and find it.
I mean, you just have to be aware of it.
A cup and looking
you
at
don't
the
do
bottom.
That,
well, I think it's. Ooh, I think people who
Sam
have
in your
In-N-Out,
fry container.
People who have In-N-Out, it's probably pretty obvious. They're like, it's a normal thing to think.
It's like fans who like watch for Easter eggs and shows. You're just
right.
You're looking for all these random things.
Once you're in it, then you probably they're probably like, oh, what's the other introducing a new menu item? What's I wonder what verse it's gonna be.
Testaments. Have you guys ever had testaments?
Testaments.
Mints,
Mints with a verse.
Oh wow.
You used to be able to get those at the counter at the Christian bookstore, which I don't even know if that exists anymore. But like that was always like the add on, like, I want a testament, Mom. And you get your little mints.
This podcast brought to you by Testaments.
Yes.
Testaments. The word
I
in your mouth.
Still business. Yeah, they were cool.
All right. Well, let's get started with day 3. We're in John 3 for today, and it's the story of Jesus teaching Nicodemus. Brendan, will you take us through the day 3 commentary?
Day 3, for God so loved the world. Today's reading contains one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This verse has been a favorite of Christians for millennia. One reason why Christians are so drawn to it is because it presents a stunning depiction of God's love. This verse teaches us that God's love is universal. It is given to the entire world. This would have been a big deal to the first century Jews reading the book of John. Rabbis like the one with whom Jesus is speaking in John 3 often emphasize God's love for Israel. Here, God's love is portrayed as being without borders. We also learn that God's love is unconditional. It is given to people whether or not they reciprocate the love back to him. In fact, in the book of John, the word translated as world oftentimes refers to people who actually hate God, as in John 7:7, John 14:30, John 15:18, and John 17:14. When God showed his love to the world through Jesus, he did so because of his commitment to us, not because we loved him first. Finally, we learn that God's love is self-sacrificial. The word translated as gave in the phrase, gave his one and only son, is a word that is used in other places in reference to Old Testament sacrifices. This word points to the meaning of Jesus' death. He was given up like a sacrifice to deal with the problem that our sins presented, even though Jesus had done nothing to deserve that penalty. This is why the picture of God's love in John 3:16 is so stunning. We may never choose to love or believe in God, but that didn't stop him from showing the greatest expression of love to us. He was willing to do whatever it took and pay whatever the cost to offer humanity a relationship with him. If God could love the whole world that much, he's worthy of our faith.
For day 3, we're reading John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth, and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them."
Day 3's reflection questions. I'm going to read the questions, and then I'll just give you a little bit of space and time to journal or process. In John 3:3, Jesus clears up any confusion for Nicodemus about who will have access to the kingdom of God. He wants Nicodemus to know that following religious rules aren't the ticket into heaven, but rather, only those who are born again can see the kingdom of God. When we think about who will spend eternity with God, it should motivate us to want everyone to be born again. It's our job to spread the good news. Who in your life needs to hear the gospel? What can you do to expose them to God's unconditional love?
Jesus' testimony was trustworthy because he was an eyewitness from heaven and his words were the very words of God. One of the central truths in the book of John is the fact that Jesus Christ is God's Son, the Messiah and Savior. When we understand who Jesus is, we should be compelled to believe what he said. In your own words, answer this question: who is Jesus Christ?
Well, out of this, let's go into some deeper context and conversation about the passages that we're reading today. The first guy I want to kind of talk about is Nicodemus. He even has a title. He's just a member of the Jewish ruling council. Brennan, who was Nicodemus and who, like, why should we care about this guy having this conversation with Jesus?
For sure. So yeah, he's described in verse one. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. So already right there, you can put together a picture of who this guy is. He's a religious authority. He has access to wealth. He's a social elite. What's interesting is kind of what happens as the story unfolds. If you keep on reading, he came to Jesus at night and asked him a question. Or he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." So he's this sort of religious social elite who comes to Jesus at night because he's curious about who Jesus is.
And do you feel like that's actually a genuine curiosity, or do you think he was sent? And he comes at night, like you told us in our yesterday's podcast, that if details are included, they're included for a reason.
Yeah,
so what,
for sure.
Kind of, what does that
I'm
mean
I'm glad
for
you
us?
Asked, Tyler. Yeah. I mean, so there are a few ways to look at this. And truth is, people, we don't have a whole lot of information on Nicodemus. I do think he's genuinely curious because he appears at other times in the book of John, and he seems to show interest in Jesus and who he is. And so it could be that he started out, he's sort of a representative, you might say, of the Pharisees. It could be that, and he's just sent to discover who this guy is. But maybe he's inspired here and he becomes interested in Jesus, or maybe he's just genuinely curious. And that could be one reason why he would come at night, right? Because if you go during the day, the crowd, people can see, the Pharisees, his fellow people who really have a major problem with Jesus later in the book of John, they would see him. So he comes, it could be that he's coming at night because this is a secret meeting. He doesn't want to be seen. It could be that he's wanting to avoid crowds and just maybe there are a lot of people who are hanging around Jesus. I mean, we just read at the end of chapter 2 that he performs these signs at the Passover festival in Jerusalem during the Passover festival. You're talking about 250,000 plus people in this really small area. So it could be that he's just trying to get time with Jesus and this is the only time he can do it. Or and I kind of lean towards this, or really something of all of the above, but the book of John often presents this dichotomy between light and darkness. And you actually see it at the end of this chapter, and I think it's kind of significant actually for understanding a little bit about Nicodemus, this difference between light and dark. Jesus is described as the light. In fact, these verses say in verse 19, "This is the verdict, light has come into the world." By light, John means Jesus. Jesus has come into the world light, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I almost wonder if this note is included to say something about where Nicodemus is at spiritually. Mm. It's a description of the physical setting that says something about his spiritual heart. He's in a place still where he's in the spiritual dark. And he needs to come out. He needs to come to the light. He needs to come to Jesus. He needs to step into the light. And that's something he sort of learns in this chapter, that just because he's a rabbi, just because he knows the word of God in and out, just because he's Jewish religious authority doesn't necessarily mean you're automatically saved. And what does Jesus say? If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again.
Which
is confusing.
Especially for somebody in the, you know, that time who's hearing that.
Well, for sure. And so later in the book of John, actually, there's this sort of argument Jesus has with some other Pharisees where they basically say, "Hey, we're good because we are children of Abraham. You know, we don't have to worry about sin. We are right with God because we are children of Abraham by virtue of being born as part of the Jewish family." And Jesus basically what he implies, what he gets at is that, no, you actually need to be born. You need to be born of God. And that's what the very first chapter actually in John teaches, right? It was John 1:11, where John wrote something along the lines of, to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them right to become children of God. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. Again, you have to be born again. You need to become a child of God. And that's something different than what you were physically born into.
I feel like Nicodemus is really all of us, right? Like, we come at certain points when we're spiritually depleted and we're just trying to figure out, what is Jesus? Who's he about? And for a lot of people coming from the outside, he's just somebody we've either heard a lot about and we don't really care for it, like, because we've seen how Christians act, or it's something we've heard nothing about. And you asked this question, Amber, in the reflection questions, who is Jesus? How do we even begin to answer that question? Who is Jesus?
I mean, I think that's a really personal question. Like, we can obviously point to scripture for who he is and historically who he was as a historical figure. But to each of us, I think that he takes on a different role in our lives. The caution I would say is I think that some people personify Jesus to be who they want him to be. And that's where the truth of scripture comes in. But to each of us, he becomes a friend, obviously a savior. And I think that's important for new Christians or people who are seeking to really take some time to ponder who is Jesus, both for your salvation and the truth, and also who is he to you personally.
Yeah, one of the things that struck me just about Nicodemus, too, is that, you know, he seems like an intellectual, like he's studied the scriptures. And so the fact that he didn't need to check his reason or intellect at the door, as I think sometimes people think we have to do if we're going to follow Jesus or have faith. And he just stayed curious. And so when I think about Jesus, and even for me personally, there was a time where I knew who Jesus was as a historical figure, as a religious figure, but I really had to get curious about who he was as the Son of God and what the scripture said about him. And if that was really true, what were the implications for my life? And so when I think about who Jesus is, you're right, we have to explore that for ourselves personally and then come to a place where we find a relationship with him, which I think when you haven't found that yet, it seems a little bit hard to grasp. Like, what does that really mean to have a relationship with God, with Jesus? And for me, it meant a lot of prayer, just talking. And there was a point where I felt like, okay, no, I not only do I believe Jesus existed, but I believe that he really was the Son of God who walked the earth. And then that compels me to do something. That compels me to say, all right, I want to follow you. I'm going to open my hands to you, God. Whatever you ask of me, whatever you want me to do, I'll say yes, because you're my Savior. You saved me. And so you're worth following. And so there's just an example there in Nicodemus's life of his curiosity about Jesus that I would encourage all of us, even those of us who have been following Jesus for a long time, to continue to be curious about who he was and what he calls us to. That just stands out for me in this.
You know, you talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. What's cool about this passage is they also reference being born again. And in Christian circles, we kind of use those two as interchangeable. Like, being born again does imply that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so it's almost as if Jesus is saying, come to know me personally so that you can be born again into this new community.
For somebody who's new, who's just diving into this for the first time, and they're like, you know what, I do want to learn more. I do want to know more. I am curious. What do you tell them to do? What's like this? Where do you go from there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tyler. A couple things. So one, I think reading through something like the book of John is a great place to start. Reading God's words, reading what Jesus says about who he is, what John says about him. I think that's a perfect place to start. In addition to that, you know, one of the things that I tell people who are seeking or new to faith, I'll just say, hey, just pray the simple prayer. God, if you're real, show yourself to me. Reveal that to me. Make it clear that you really exist. And I say, just pray that every day and watch and look for ways to God to reveal himself to you. And then the last thing I'll say is don't do it alone. You know, go and talk with people who are either exploring also or people who are a little bit further down the road and be in a group, be in a conversation with other people so that you're not off by yourself trying to figure this out on your own. Ask your questions. You know, I always tell people, God can handle all our questions. He wants us to come to him. He doesn't want a blind faith that doesn't test the scriptures to see the truth there.
Yeah, and even if you're even if you've been a longtime believer, inviting someone into your circle who is a new believer, who is a seeker, their questions challenge and grow that, like, grow you as well. There's been so many times I've been in conversation with people where they're asking really tough questions, and I have to really think and process and pray and read scripture to figure out, like, how do I even begin to approach to answer that question? And it's a growing experience for me too. So that's the beauty of community.
So with Nicodemus, we have this guy who comes, and this is the very beginning of John, and we're starting to for people that are high up and really understand everything about society, everything about how the world works, and they're starting to ask, who is Jesus? And some of them get it right, and some of them get it wrong. They don't really know who Jesus is, and no spoilers here, but some of them don't catch on really
quick.
Some
of the people who spend a lot of time with Jesus don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's also some of us today. I mean, when it comes to Christians in the modern day and age, we often get it wrong. And a lot of people won't even acknowledge that they get it wrong. But a lot of us have missed the target of what Jesus was really setting, of really understanding who he is and what he was about. My question is, like, how can we stay on the straight and narrow, understanding who Jesus was and also living out who he has called us to be?
Well, I mean, I think there are a few ways you can answer this. I mean, if I just want to use the passage we have in front of us, I look at verse 21. Again, it says, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." And I think Christians, we believe we have a claim to the truth. The truth actually being a person, right? Jesus, John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We claim we have this sort of hold on the truth, but we don't live in truth, if that makes sense, right? Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So
I think that's one of the most offensive things for a lot of people, right?
Well, for sure.
They're like, oh, you claim to be this,
for sure,
but I don't see you doing that.
Yeah, it's inconsistent with the way that you live. I mean, you say this thing, but you don't live it out in all these other ways. And so Jesus is asking for more than to come to him as the truth. It's actually to live by the truth, to live as he lived. And that's where I'm at. And the truth is, it's in some ways impossible to do, but Jesus is calling us to it. 1 John 1:5, written by same author. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." That light-darkness dichotomy shows up in this letter. "If we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim to be with Jesus and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." Same language, okay? We're liars if we claim to have this relationship with the truth, right? Who Jesus identifies himself to be. If we claim that, but we don't live out the truth, we lie and we don't really have the fellowship we think. So, I guess the answer John sort of gives us is we got to live the way Jesus lived.
Tyler, you said this earlier about Nicodemus, that we are all Nicodemuses in some way. And so when I think about this, I think one of the ways that Christians miss the mark is we tend to lean to be more like a Pharisee. We want to speak the truth. We want to know the truth. And like you said, Nicodemus was this religious leader who knew all, you know, he knew all the head knowledge that he needed to know, but he was still in the dark about who Jesus was. And for us as Christians, it's kind of easier for us to want to have all the head knowledge and to know what's right and wrong and live in that way of living, because it's a little tricky to live in the light of Jesus. It's not always black and white. It's not as simple. It's not as easy. And so we tend to lean towards being more like Pharisees. And that's where I think the outside world has seen Christians in a negative light.
Amber, you bring up a good point. It's easier sometimes, I think, to have head knowledge. Like, there's a path to reading the Bible, learning, but to really live the way Jesus lived requires intimate walking with him. And it requires 100%. When I look at Jesus, I think he lived 100% grace and 100% truth, mm-hmm. 100% love. And I'm like, that is really hard to do. It takes a level of shrewdness that I'll never fully have. And so you're right, that is a tough way, a tough example to follow. And even sometimes when I look at Jesus's responses, I'm like, oh, I don't know that. Does that feel loving? Oh, no. Okay, here's Jesus. He's being truthful. He's, you know, he's maybe responding in a way that I didn't think was right. But
I personally like the turning tables Jesus. He's one of my favorite. Like, clearing out the temple, that's one of my I go to him way more often than I should.
He comes to you, like, more often than I should.
Yeah, with the little children. Every time. That's what
Jesus gathering the kids around him.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this, Tyler?
I think it's hard because when Christians turn up in the news for doing things that we know are not the way of Jesus,
yeah,
that's not only hurtful for the people who do not know Jesus, and they're like, well, why would I want to be a part of that? A lot of people who are outside of the church think the church like views themselves as this perfect entity, but in reality, we are just as flawed.
Yeah.
Every day, we are all dealing with the same thing. Like, just because we know Jesus doesn't make us impervious from this idea that we are going to fail. Like, we are going to be sinful, and that's just the reality of it that people need to acknowledge. I think if people knew that we viewed ourselves as still sinners in need of saving, they would be much more open to understanding what we're about and the Jesus that we follow.
Yeah, it's humility. It's what we talk about all the time. If the world, if we could be humble and the world could see us as being humble, it would have a totally different viewpoint of Christians, I think.
One thing we haven't really talked about is this statement. We don't need to spend a whole long time on it because the commentary laid it out pretty well. But John 3:16 is a profound statement. And there's a lot of ways that this has been overused or feels tired to us, but I think you put it in a good light to redeem this verse for us, Brendan, because there is something incredibly profound about the way that it is so tidily wrapped up, everything that Jesus is here for and why he came to this earth.
It's really the gospel in a nutshell, and I think that's why Christians use it so often, because it sort of presents to you the core of the Christian, the core of what the gospel is about and what you really need. And also this, again, kind of like what we highlighted, this stunning picture of God's love, that God loves you. And this is what really strikes me so much, is that this word world, very frequently in the book of John, the world hates God. But God loved the world that much that he gave his one, and gave, it's a word that, it means gave, but oftentimes it's used in sacrificial context, that he was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice for people that hated him. And that's, when you really think about that, like, that's one of the most compelling things I think about Christianity, about the gospel to me, that God loved me that much that even when I was, when I hated him, he would do this for me.
You know, when I read the commentary, Brendan, that part stuck out to me, the world part. And for me, you know, I'm of Indian origin, and the gospel in India dates all the way back to Thomas. And Thomas traveled to India, and it's hard to travel to India today, guys. I mean, the climate, the culture, I mean, the food, everything is so different, language. And when I think back to the disciples, I mean, they had to believe that Jesus came for the world so much that they went out to share him with the world. And so a lot of times what strikes me when I read that part about the world is I was like, yeah, they believe this, that Thomas went to India where he didn't speak the language, you know, the culture. It was so different, probably as far as you could come from Jewish culture, and went and shared the gospel there. And because of that, you know, at some point my ancestors found Jesus, and that's why I get to sit here today. And that always just hits me deep when I read that verse. So
yeah, it's compelling. It's a compelling tradition, honestly, that dates back centuries, millennia. But that, yeah, this guy who, in the book of John, he's not presented very favorably either. He's a doubter. He says some of these things that you're like, they're just kind of head scratchers. But at the end of it all, he decides this Jesus is worth following and giving my life over for, and traveling thousands of miles to India to present a gospel, to share the story of this guy's love and what he's done for us.
When I think about the people in my life that have come to know Jesus, it really didn't start out with an agenda. It was really, they were my friends, and I just happened to be going to something, and I was like, hey, why don't you come with me to this church? Or right now, I think about, I have a neighbor, and comes from a totally different faith tradition, really has never stepped foot in a church, maybe for a wedding or something, and she's just expressed some curiosity, like, well, so what is it that you do? And I'm trying to be so careful I don't want a relationship with her just to, because I want to bring her to church. I genuinely want to have a relationship with her. But I also sometimes find myself like, it's hard to know the line, like, okay, I want to have a relationship with her, but then I don't want to not talk about Jesus. And so sometimes for me, the hard thing is discerning, like, okay, how can I invite someone into even reading through something like Journey Through John and say, hey, you know what? Our church is reading through this. Would you be up for reading it with me? No pressure, no, you know, hey, and then if you've got questions, we can talk about it. But as a church, I would encourage you to be praying for and just looking for, are there people in your life that you can invite to do this study with you, to read through it with you? And I think there's power in asking questions together. We talked about humility, and when we have questions, I still have questions about the scripture, and I don't understand certain things and why Jesus said or did the things that he did. And I think when we have that kind of attitude, when we open scripture with people who are exploring it for the first time, I think that's a powerful conversation. And so I would just encourage everyone, be praying, be looking, listen to the whispers of the Spirit of who you can invite along with you in this journey.
Thanks for joining us for the Journey Through John podcast. To check out even more resources, visit our journey page at willowjourney.org. And be sure to share your journey experience on social media with the hashtag WillowJourney. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about the ministries of Willow Creek Community Church, check out willowcreek.org. We'll see you tomorrow.